It is Sean Kane here, your host for the Lineup Logic Podcast. Of course, the Friday edition, the late night Thursday record here. Tilting a little bit myself, you know, not only tilting the NFL draft, but tilting this Diamondbacks game. Of course, I have, I have Jake Lamb, AJ Pollock, and David Peralta everywhere, and no Chris Owings. So I'm sweating a little bit, but we've got a Friday slate to break down. In the next hour, we will preview that slate upcoming in Major League Baseball. You know, I brought Josh Fern on, of course, my regular Friday friend, to help me break it down. You know, before we go any further, I know no one cares, but the Bears. Can we just talk about, you guys know I lived in Chicago for a while. Can we just talk about the pain of the uncertainty of being a Bears and a Bulls fan right now? There is so little direction and clarity and hope. Just like, it feels like we are trading the farm to get pieces that we don't even, I mean, I don't know what to say, guys. The one thing I will say is I'm very happy for John Lynch. Got two of the best, 49ers picked up two of the best defensive players in the draft. And, you know, I grew up in the Tampa Bay area, so I love to see John Lynch get in there, wheeling and dealing, being successful. But at the expense of the Bears, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I hope Trubisky works out. I really do. I really do. But if he doesn't, you better believe that Ryan Pace is going to have a real short leash in the next couple years. I like Ryan Pace. I like him a lot. I think he did a really good job. It felt like we had another kind of Theo type moment coming here. But I was texting with my buddy in Chicago, and he goes, "Oh my God, I fucking hate the Bears so much." He goes, "I'm not kidding when I say Theo should be running the Bears." He's probably right. Theo objectively would make really good decisions about what they should do and how they should do it. But hey, Theo doesn't run the Bears. Ryan Pace runs the Bears, and we've got Mitchell Trubisky there for the next couple years. But we're not here to talk Bears. We're not here to talk draft. We're here to talk about Major League Baseball, DFS. We got to talk about this Friday slate, 30 teams in action. Everybody's here. We got tons of options on this board. So let's jump in to the slate. But before we do that, we'll make a quick recap of yesterday's lineup. One of these nights. All right, so, you know, like I did the Thursday slate, I did the early, I gave you guys options for the afternoon. You know, early slate, I was pretty pleased with my results. Had put up two really nice scores, 172, 175. Josh Fernandez, my co-host, took down a mini GPP with 212. Cheat sheet listener Kenny, shout out to Kenny, he took down another one. Just some great numbers by guys in the cheat sheet community. If you're not in the cheat sheet community, man, it's patreon.com/lineuplogic. It's $10 for the cheat sheet. Every single day we're giving you guys the breakdown of where we want to put our money. And it's, you know, for guys who are active in MLB at DFS, it has been a huge help. So get in there. You know, obviously tonight, I walked into tonight sitting really pretty, had a couple Cardinals, had Chris Sale everywhere, and had that Diamondback stack and had that that A's stack. You know, the A's are flirting with some disaster, and the Diamondbacks, I just had the wrong pieces. So what could have been is a bit frustrating right now, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Not going to sweat a bad beat. It just, that's how it goes. It's MLB DFS, baby. Some days you crush, some days you don't. But very pleased with the early slate results, 175, 172. Those are great numbers to put up. Even beat Bird Wings in a head-to-head. The Fantasy Labs guru there in a little head-to-head action. So that was a nice little W. I'll take that. I'll take that as a moral victory for the good guys. Although, you know, it's not like those guys are bad guys. I just, you know, I don't make nearly as much money doing this as he does. So, you know, very pleased with the early results. Very happy for the other guys who took stuff down. And we got 30, we got 30 baseball teams in action on Friday night. What's better than that? So let's jump into this Friday slate, and let's figure out what games we're looking at. All right, so like I said, everybody in action on the main slate. We are looking at the first game of the night, and I don't have lines for this one, guys, so I'm just going to give you pitchers. I'll just give you pitchers and the schedule. Lines aren't out just yet for everything. So we've got the Mets at the Nats. Jacob DeGrom going up against Max Scherzer in this one. You know, love Max Scherzer here, especially with the news that Yoenis Cespedes is down with a hammy. I feel like Scherzer is the top arm, no hands down, no question. We'll talk about Scherzer here in a little bit. The Orioles taking on the Yankees, going up to Yankee Stadium, a little divisional matchup here. Kevin Gausman getting CC Sabathia. Man, it'd be really nice for the Orioles to decide that this was the weekend they want to turn the bats up. It'd be really nice because they are underpriced right now, guys. Keep your eyes on these Oriole bats because they are underpriced, and they know CC Sabathia. They've seen him a lot. Definitely interested in the Orioles. You know, the Yankees are hot, though. The Yankees are very hot, and Kevin Gausman, not great yet. He's got some Fern likes him, but he hasn't quite figured it out. And this team, these Orioles are doing really good work. So, these Yankees are doing good work right now. Just won that game against Chris Sale. It's craziness that they took that with Tanaka on the hill. Tanaka did great stuff for them. Blake Snell getting Marcus Stroman in the Rays, going up to the Blue Jays, another divisional here. Stroman should be in a really nice spot against a team that strikes out a whole lot. We know Stroman's a ground ball guy, but Stroman going deep into games recently. So interested in Stroman a little bit. Mariners going to Cleveland. Ariel Miranda going up against Carlos Carrasco. Ariel Miranda is a gas can. We are throwing the Indians at Ariel Miranda, no question here. Indians offense kind of just sputtering a little bit. They're kind of like the Red Sox right now. You know they have the pieces to kick it into high gear at any minute, but they just haven't quite gotten there. So I don't mind going back to the Indians, even though they didn't really do a lot of good work for me today. I never mind the Indians. The Pirates at the Marlins, meh. This is not really a series that I'm very interested in. Marlins just not really showing a lot of power. Right now, Jameson Taillon, the righty, getting Adam Conley, the lefty. You know, Pirates, I think, are a source of salary relief, and they have some nice righties here in this spot. Conley, not a bad pitcher, though, so I don't, doesn't interest me. I don't think you have to go there, especially in a pitcher's park like this. Cubs, Red Sox, this will be a fun series for just TV, baby. Arrieta going up against Pomeranz. I don't know how to touch this one. I'm going to be honest with you. The Red Sox offense, you know, obviously not really looking like what we expected preseason right now. And the Cubs getting a lefty in Pomeranz who's looked good and looked bad. Not really sure. So, you know, and priced up, everybody's priced up. So not my favorite spot to attack. But I mean, these two teams are always viable. They're always viable. You know, you never have a problem with Cubs or Red Sox in your lineup because it could click any day. White Sox at Tigers. This will be an interesting kind of gas can night. Mike Pelfrey, the righty for the White Sox, who, as Fern will talk about, should not be in the major leagues. Going up against Matt Boyd. Matt Boyd also giving up a lot of hard contact to a White Sox team that, you know, will stack the righties up against them. And, you know, so this is an interesting game stack and probably one that's not too sexy, but definitely interesting. Angels Rangers, Tyler Skaggs getting Nick Martinez. I don't know too much about these pitchers. I got to be honest with you, but, you know, it's definitely going to be an interesting place for offense. Skaggs has had a couple good outings recently, but I don't necessarily know that I want to pitch him against, you know, the righties of the Rangers in Globe Life, a nice hitter situation. So, and Nick Martinez, no, I mean, you know, he's done some decent work. But I there's not enough of a large enough sample size for me to try to figure out where I want to, you know, if I want to start a pitcher against Mike Trout, to be honest with you. The A's at the Astros, this is an interesting series for sure, although the Astros a little bit banged up right now, which is frustrating. Jarrell Cotton going up against Charlie Morton. Jarrell Cotton, good young pitcher, but giving up contact. So Astros are interesting here for sure, especially Josh Reddick in the leadoff spot. I don't mind him at all for a little salary relief. Still cheap. Braves, Brewers, this will be a good one. Bartolo Colon pitching up against Chase Anderson. You know, Bartolo Colon is, you know, he's a veteran, but I just don't understand. I just don't see a situation in which he's able to get around this hot Brewers offense. So definitely interested in the Brewers up there in Miller Park. The Twins at the Royals. I don't know. I mean, Kyle Gibson versus Ian Kennedy. The Twins have some nice lefties for sure. But, you know, nothing really standing out here to me as, you know, a viable target for as viable targets in a, you know, in a pitcher's ballpark, especially in the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, not terribly interested in this game, to be honest. Reds, Cardinals, Tim Adelman versus Lance Lynn. This is interesting because Adelman is a gas can. So Cardinals seem to be kind of coming together a little bit. They've been interesting in the last couple days and, you know, relatively inexpensive. And they'll get a nice matchup with Adelman here at home. But, you know, they did just play that doubleheader today. So, you know, maybe a Matt Carpenter one-off for sure. And Lance Lynn, kind of a mixed bag for him. He gives up power to lefties, but at the same time, Reds strike out quite a bit. And Lynn has had a couple good outings to back up what were some bad ones to start. Rockies, Diamondbacks, this will be interesting. Definitely interested in this one. I mean, Rockies going to Chase Field is, you know, only a slight downgrade from what we're used to seeing them in Coors. You know, Chase Field is a great place to play baseball for hitters, and the Rockies, interestingly enough, are really priced down. Opposite for the Diamondbacks, Kyle Freeland versus Robbie Ray. You know, Robbie Ray, a good K pitcher, but Rockies are interesting because they're just so cheap right now. Phillies and Dodgers, Jared Eichhoff against Kenta Maeda. Maeda, in my mind, is due for some regression, and this might be the spot where he finds it and gets back on track. He's gotten blown up in a couple games this year, but he may be able to get back on track against the Phillies team that doesn't have a lot of lefty power. So we'll keep an eye on that. It's an interesting spot. Padres at Giants. Luis Padromo going up against Jeff Samardzija. Samardzija definitely has the advantage in this one. Padres offense really not doing much at all. Not really very cohesive. They're just kind of every once in a while get a couple one-off homers here and there. But really not showing a lot of pop, Padres. So Samardzija in a good spot here at home. Obviously, AT&T, a great spot to pitch. So, you know, like I said, massive slate. Josh and I are going to attack it head on. We're going to try and find some spots that maybe you guys want to attack as well. You know, and we're going to jump right into it. It's a big slate. We're going to take a while. It takes a while to break down. So, you know, without further ado, let's get into the player breakdown and figure out who we love on this one. Who do you love? All right, we're jumping into the player breakdown right now. And, of course, late Thursday here, breaking down the Friday slate, I got my man Josh Fernandez on. Josh, you had a nice little afternoon today, did you not, my friend?
Yeah, man. First of all, good evening, Sean. Always good a pleasure. yeah, man, I had a pretty nice afternoon. I've been all over these mini $1 slates on FanDuel, loving those. I feel like there's a lot more potential for maximizing your winnings. So I've been hammering those, and took one down today. Interestingly enough, I did a Nat stack and was able to fit them all in and some other decent plays by using Matt Latos. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, look, the way I looked at it is he was essentially like Min Sal for a pitcher. And he was facing a St. Louis offense that hasn't really done much this year. Now, granted, St. Louis put up 8 runs on the Jays, but they did that after Latos was out of the game. And, you know, I figured, like, get those Nats in there. They're super confident hitting the ball. They had one more day in Coors. So, you know, go out with a bang, I figured. And that they did. And I got lucky. You know, I'm not going to lie. You know, I got lucky, put up 218 and $30 on a dollar. It felt good.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of glad that we don't have to sweat the Nationals and Coors anymore, because it's just like, it's not a question of what damage will they do. It's a question of how much damage were they going to do. And the problem was when you're building your lineups, you just couldn't own enough of them. Like, you just could not get enough Nationals in your lineups. And so I'm, you know, that was a fun series, but I'm glad that we're going to move on to some kind of more normalized scores now that the Nationals, like that, what is basically the one of the best offenses in baseball is not in Coors Field anymore.
Yeah, dude, I was like looking at some Park Factor stuff today. I posted some stuff on the Slack chat. I don't know if you caught a glimpse of that, but I was trying to kind of like normalize some Park Factor data to make it to like, it's a scale of 0 to 100, like 100 being the best and 0 being the worst as far as hitters go, and doing it as like a lefty righty split. So like, what's the best park for lefties? What's the best park for righties? What's the difference percentage wise in production lefties versus righties, whatever. And I tried to make it so that Coors was 100, right?
Right.
Makes sense. But what happened was, is that Coors was 100, and then like Great American Ballpark for lefties is really powerful, and it was like 50, and like Chase Field was like 50, and I was like, that's a problem. So
yeah.
I basically just took Coors out of the equation and made Chase Field and like Great American Ballpark like 100, and it normalized it. But that like really solidified, crystallized in my mind as if I didn't need further evidence that Coors is just, I don't know, man. It's insane. Like, I remember this past football season when some of the fantasy labs guys were saying that the Mercedes-Benz Superdome where the Saints play is the Coors Field of football.
Yeah.
And it's a very appropriate distinction.
I know. I mean, stack the Saints at home and stack Coors Field, you know.
Absolutely,
these are rules that we live by here in this industry. All right, but hey, we got a nice big Friday slate, everybody in action on the main slate, so you know we're definitely gonna have to break this down and find some spots to attack. So Let's talk pitchers here first, because obviously at the top of the slate there's a couple nice pitchers, but there's one that I really feel like we need to be, you know, locked in on, and that's Scherzer. He's 11-6. He's got the Mets, you know, and I just literally before I sat down for this breakdown, I was reading about the Cespedes injury today. He's got a pulled, I think it's a hammy. He was on the base path, pulled a hammy. He's probably going to go to the DL at least the 10 day. And that's really the only bat that really scares me on the Mets. They are beat up right now. And Scherzer gets them at home. He has not pitched in a while. They didn't pitch him in Coors. So he is fresh and ready to go, and he will be pitching in, you know, pitching the first of this series, this divisional series against the Mets. And you better believe that the Nats are like in, you know, in like get ahead mode. You know, they've just had didn't they sweep the Rockies?
No, they didn't. I think 3-1. They won 2 out of 3. I think they lost the first game.
Okay. Anyway, but they are, you know.
But they may as well have swept the Rockies because they put up like 2 series worth of runs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, maybe 3 series worth of runs if you're like the San Francisco Giants or something.
With Trey Turner back, they're terrifying. They are terrifying, dude.
My God.
Can you imagine? Like, I'm already thinking NL Championship. Like, Nats Cubs NL Championship would be just must see TV,
dude. And it irritates the crap out of me to say this because I'm an Orioles fan, and I don't know if you know the whole like culture here, but like there's no actual rivalry between the O's and the Nats fans,
right?
Nor is there one really between the players and the teams.
No,
but there's just this irritation on both sides that are just irritated with each other because they hate us Orioles fans because our owner is like an evil supervillain who like wouldn't let the Nationals come here, and then they did, and then he wouldn't let them have their own TV network with Masson, and then right. They finally did. So they hate us because of that, and because they think that Baltimore is like you know, poop stain on like the United States, so they can screw themselves. And then we hate them because they sucked forever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're like this amazing team with Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg and all these studs, Bryce Harper, Daniel Murphy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and it's just like, oh my gosh, why can't our team manufacture like 3 runs like the Nationals can in like 1 inning?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know, but we got Scherzer tonight on this slate.
I digress. Okay.
Yeah, I know you digress. That's more, you know, that's more a regional concern for you, my friend. So Scherzer is dealing with this beat up Mets team, which would like, you know, I would like him anyway in this situation. But the numbers right now are just absolutely insane for him. 31% strikeout rate this year, 7% walk rate, a whip at 8.83, 213 BABIP, and a 4-1 K to ball batted ball ratio. You know, the Mets can roll out a lot of lefties, which Scherzer does. Like, he doesn't struggle with lefties. I'm not going to say he struggles with lefties, but lefties are certainly his bugaboo. You know, okay, so you got Michael Conforto and you got Jay Bruce. That's about it. That's about all that worries me. And the Mets offense, you know, even today against R.A. Dickey, they really couldn't do much of anything. You know, so he has pretty elite numbers as far as batted ball numbers as well. He's got a 14% hard contact rate and only 20% hard contact to lefties. So even if you're worried about Jay Bruce and, you know, Jay Bruce and Michael Conforto, I mean, he's not giving it up to them. And he's got a 16% swinging strike rate to top it all off. I mean, we just saw what Chris Sale did with that same number, swinging strike rate tonight against the Yankees, who are a pretty hot offense. So, I mean, give me Max Scherzer all day. I will find the value somewhere on this slate to fit him in because it's him and then it's everybody else for me.
Oh, dude, Sean, completely agree. I mean, Scherzer is one of the safest plays there is, not just on this slate, but in general, simply because of his strikeout potential, his ability to go deep in games. Yeah, he gives up home runs more than you'd like, but most of the home runs he gives up, you know, are of the solo and maybe 2-run variety because he doesn't give up a ton of base runners.
No.
You know, I watched that Nats and Mets game this past Sunday, and he gave up that leadoff homer to Michael Conforto. I can't remember what else transpired as far as earned runs went, but man, he is a bulldog. He just blew through that team. Like, you know, I mean, like, he has the potential to against any team in the league. And like you mentioned, yep. Sean, with no Cespedes, I mean, you really got to feel good about his chances to give you 50 to 60 points.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I think he's, you know, he's got this combination of upside and safety. And, you know, I'm really into that, you know, just on a slate when you, there's a lot of other spots you could go to, but I think that, I mean, it's just, why not try to fit him in? You know, maybe you got to punt two spots instead of one, but I'm okay with that. Fern, talk to me about somebody here. You've got our second pitcher listed as somebody that actually may go overlooked and can give us a little bit of leverage.
Yeah, man, definitely. This guy's Jeff Samardzija. So Samardzija is the 2-4-6 seventh highest priced pitcher on the slate at 8,700. So, you know, you got Scherzer up there at the top, and then below is Carlos Carrasco, then Jake Arrieta, Jacob deGrom, Marcus Stroman, Robbie Ray. All right. The guys ahead of him, let's just talk about them here for a second. The guys ahead of him, they all have question marks surrounding them. I mean, Carrasco, love the guy, but he's pitching in the AL against an AL team in an AL ballpark, and Seattle's hitting the ball well lately. And it kind of concerns me a tiny little bit. I feel really good about it, but it kind of concerns me a little bit. Jake Arrieta, you know, he did look, he's a beast, but he did have a rough outing against the Reds, and the Red Sox, though they are scuffling a bit to start the year, they are a more frightening offense than the Reds are, and he's pitching against them in Boston, which is absolutely a hitter's park. DeGrom is getting the Nationals, who I don't care if they're not in Coors, they're back at home. They are super confident, best hitting team in baseball the past week or so. You know, Stroman, AL situation, Tampa Bay strikes out a lot, but they have the ability to put up runs. And then Robbie Ray gets Colorado, and I'm pretty sure Colorado wants to get into him and redeem themselves after getting embarrassed the last today. What was it, 16-2 or 16?
Robbie Ray is also, I mean, as good as he's been. I mean, he's been dealing. He is giving up hard contact, and he is pitching at home in Chase Field, which is a great spot. I mean, against an offense that, you know, we know can hit. I don't know what happened to them in this series necessarily, but I mean, they can hit, man. Don't sleep on these Rockies.
So. Yeah, and that's a great point you made that they're at Chase Field, because people say, "Oh, thank God, you know, the Rockies are away from Coors. Now I can pick on them a little bit." Well, Chase Field is like top 3, 4, 5 ballparks in baseball for hitters, so. Yeah, Robbie Ray is a guy you want to use in his divisional games away from Chase Field, because the rest of his division have supreme pitcher parks. So that brings us to Jeff Samardzija. And Samardzija's taking on San Diego. Look, San Diego's got some nice young pieces that I'm sure are going to pan out here in a few years. But right now, they're just not that adept at consistently threatening opposing pitchers, and I'm not afraid of them in this matchup. I mean, again, with the opponent, like, looking at their WOBA, it's at the bottom of the league, and they strike out a lot too. And, you know, like I mentioned with Robbie Ray, we want to use Ray when he goes against his divisional opponents in their ballparks, not his and Chase. They're in Petco, and Petco is a great pitcher's park. Especially for right-handed batters. I mentioned earlier in the pod that I was looking at splits for park factor, righties and lefties splits for different ballparks. And Petco is a really nice park for right-handed batters, right-handed pitchers, because left-handed batters get limited in their production. Vegas, not only is the opening implied run total for the Padres at just 3.6 runs, which is pretty damn low. They're also placing the Giants at -156, which is the third best money line of the slate. And if you don't understand that, listeners, all that means is that when a team has a negative money line, especially a money line that's negative 140, 150 or more, that just means that their team is a strong favorite to win. So, you know, they're definitely a strong favorite to win, and you want to get that extra 4 points, you know, if you can, for the win. Or excuse me, 6 points. And then looking at his batted ball numbers, it's clear he's not pitching that bad, okay? His traditional stats are not that great right now. But like I said last week with Corey Kluber, who was entering the game with the White Sox with a 6-plus ERA and 5 home runs surrendered and I believe 4 starts, you don't want to look at those traditional numbers. Screw the traditional numbers. It's fun for your baseball cards and the bubblegum wrappers or whatever that crap is, but the traditional stats don't matter to us on a day-to-day basis. We are worried about, are they giving up hard-hit balls? Are they giving up a lot of fly balls? What's their home run to fly ball ratio? What's their ground ball percentage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. His batted ball numbers are not that bad. And just like with Corey Kluber, what did he do? He went out and threw a complete game and struck out like a bajillion White Sox. So yeah, he's just getting unlucky, Samardzija. So I think there's some serious value here. I mean, 8,700 is not super cheap, but it's not five figures. Rostering him can open up a lot of possibilities for you for some stacks that people that – look, I love Scherzer as much as you do, Sean, for this slate. I love him. He's going to have an awesome outing, but there is a $3,000 difference between them, and that is a huge benefit to you if you want to upgrade your stacks or upgrade, you know, your outfielders that you select, maybe upgrade, you know, a catcher or shortstop that we love to typically punt or pay down at. So Jeff Samardzija, I think, is a nice consideration, not just in GPPs, but, you know, in cash too.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call. I think that's a good call. I mean, it's somebody that you definitely people overlook and don't necessarily trust just because he's got, you know, mixed history, I guess. But you love that he's got that much of a favorite. You know, you presume he can go get himself 6 innings, quality start, a win, and then you tack on the upside of a poor offense like, you know, San Diego in a hitter's park or a pitcher's park. You know, you're looking at a, you know, there's a lot of upside there. I think that the other safe guy that we can look at is Marcus Stroman. Stroman at 9-1, he's getting Tampa Bay at home in the Rogers Center. You know, the crazy thing about Stroman is he's pitched 2 complete games this year, Josh. He's gone into the 9th twice. He's only gotten blown up once. I mean, the guy, you know, just is super, super efficient. You know, and I think we're looking at this St. Louis-Toronto series, and you were talking about how beat up these bullpens are for these two teams because, you know, the reality is that they're going to need Stroman to go deep in this game. And I love the idea that Stroman's going to get 7-plus innings against a team that has a 25% strikeout rate to right-handed pitching. That's one of the highest marks in the league. It was one of their high. They were on the leaderboard in 2016. The Rays were, and in 2017, they swing the bat. There's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup. Yes, they have a lot of lefties, but Stroman's got really good stuff. Okay. Yes. Okay. His strikeout stuff is not. You know, you don't necessarily roster Stroman for the strikeout stuff. 15% K rate. Meh. Okay, but he's got really good peripherals, 1.24 whip, 4% walk rate, and a 3-to-1 K to walk ratio. I mean, it clearly shows this guy has immense precision and great control, only allowing 33% hard contact rate with a ground ball rate of 57%. That's the same as Chris Sale. Chris Sale and a lot of the other elite pitchers in baseball right now have that ground ball rate that's way up there. And Stroman is probably one of the best ground ball pitchers in major leagues. So, you know, and you add to that his ground ball to fly ball ratio as of this year, it goes up at the Rogers Center. So clearly he knows how to pitch at home. Clearly he knows how to, you know, find strikeouts, and go deep into games and be efficient and get guys out. And I like that. You know, I think that there's a solid outing here for Stroman. against the Rays. And you're not paying a terrible price for him at 9-1. That's a pretty solid price. You could see maybe getting 40 points out of a 9K guy. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Stroman is an outstanding play. You know, as a, I mean, I'm just, all year long, I'm going to remind you guys that I'm an O's fan.
Yeah.
But I, you know, put two and two together, O's, J's, same division. I've seen a lot of Stroman pitching, and you're absolutely right. You know, the numbers say it and the eye test says it. I mean, he's an efficient pitcher, and that's huge. You know, you want efficiency, you want your pitchers to get to the seventh inning, and shit, man, if they can get you complete games, you know, like how often do you get a complete game nowadays? It's so rare. I mean,
it's very rare, yeah. But it's also, you know, extremely profitable. You know, it's got, you know, you have a massive advantage if your pitcher continues to chip away, you know, well beyond the point that most pitchers are done. So, mm-hmm. Yeah,
like I feel like that's a great call. And the other thing is if he is able to get deep in the game again, odds are he's going to rack up strikeouts because Tampa Bay whiffs a lot. One of the highest strikeout teams in the league. So, yep. You know, Stroman's definitely a nice call.
I was going to say, this guy definitely under the radar. Talk to us.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are hip to Stroman, and rightfully so. He's a great pitcher, great up-and-coming pitcher. But a guy that I don't think a lot of people are hip to yet, you know, and he's not amazing, but he's just a solid major league pitcher, and that's Chase Anderson. He's 8,600. He's getting the Braves. Now, he's pitching in Milwaukee, which is a little problematic, especially given some of the surrounding circumstances with Chase Anderson. But allow me for just a moment. You know, he's got nice stuff, okay? He sits in the low to mid-90s, and he limits hard contact for the most part, averages about a K per inning. So he's got upside. I mean, if you look at his game logs, you know, that's evident. You know, he, if I can just get it up here real quick. I mean, he had a 52-point outing just a few starts ago. And granted, it was against the Blue Jays, and that's like a Triple-A team right now. But, you know, 40 points against the Cards, 30 points against the Cubbies, 52 points against the Blue Jays. Now, here's the thing. You ask most fans who are aware of who Chase Anderson is, and they'll tell you what's his big issue, and it's giving up home run balls. Well, in his past three starts, he's not given up a home run. That is 18 innings pitched, and he's only walked four batters, and he's limiting the hits, you know, to a solid, you know, a solid amount that we can live with. And his earned runs, two earned runs in those three starts. So he's on a roll right now. He's in a groove. He's feeling good. You know, you can tell just by the fact that, you know, he's limiting these nightmare blow-up innings that he was prone to in the past. And, you know, it's still going to happen at some point in the future. It happens to everybody. I mean, look at John Lester, just got destroyed in one inning by the Reds this past weekend. And, you know, it can happen to anybody. But he has so much upside. If he can get to the seventh inning, odds are he's going to have at least seven strikeouts when he gets there. So, you know, look, Atlanta's got some competent bats. You know, obviously Freddie Freeman is one of the best hitters in the league. You know, Matt Kemp has double dong potential. But I just, you know, I just, I'm not too afraid of them. I'm really not. And, if the Brewers bats can, you know, keep what they've got going against the Braves, you know, they can get them the win too. So would I use him in cash? Definitely not. But would I use him in GPPs? Sure. Why not? You know, I throw him out there in a few lines and, I absolutely feel good about it.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's a good call. I think that's a good call. It doesn't bother me whatsoever. I also want to go, you know, we're going to offer two other names real quick here at the bottom. I don't mind Kenta Maeda. Now, Maeda has gotten blown up in a couple spots recently. No joke, just kind of destroyed. And, you know, he is giving up a lot of fly balls, and he's gotten, you know, he's struggled. But he still has stuff. Like, I think we're due for, you know, this is a guy who I think we can look at and see that there's a good chance that he's going to make some positive regression. Okay. And you definitely have low ownership here because people are scared off of the fact that he's been getting crushed recently. And the numbers aren't great. But he's in a pitcher's park. He's at home in Dodger Stadium. He has the Phillies. The Phillies are striking out at a 25% clip to right-handed pitching. And he still has a 14.7 swinging strike rate. That's pretty solid, man. I mean, that clearly shows that Maeda has stuff. Like, he's got something. You know, oh, wow, Yasmani Tomas just went yard.
I don't have
Yasmani either.
Paul Goldschmidt got a steal 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know he did. And he scored. So Goldie with some points there.
And I've been putting – I've been hammering – Paul Goldschmidt in the steals detector section of the cheat sheet. One of my favorite fantasy baseball blogs, Razzball, the old, for those of you that know about Razzball, the slamming legs, man, the slamming legs, hit a home run, steal a base, Paul Goldschmidt, man, there you go.
Yeah, dude. All right, so I think Maeda, though, back to Kenta Maeda. Sorry, I got disrupted by Yasmani Tomas there. You know, 22% K rate with the batters that he's faced, 6% walk rate. He's clearly got some control. Like, I don't know if pitchers or if hitters are just seeing him or he's, you know, he's just missing pitches or what. And the BABIP and the whip, they're all solid. His ERA just is brutal right now because he's given up like he gave up like a 4-home-run game, and he does get smashed by lefties. So the thing about this Phillies lineup is there's really only one power lefty that scares me, and that's Herrera. So if you get around Odubel Herrera, who hasn't been exactly like crushing the ball recently, you know, and obviously you've got, what's his name? The shortstop batting leadoff, the switch hitter,
for
the Phillies. Who's the Phillies?
Cesar Hernandez.
Yeah. Cesar Hernandez. Exactly. So like okay, fine. You got two guys that you got to get around. The rest of the righties against righties, he's been pretty solid. So like, it's high risk, high reward. It's the definition of a GPP play. Obviously, you know, a little bit concerning, but I think that you can definitely look at Maeda in this spot and throw a dart, you know. I mean, and that's what we're talking about here, guys. Obviously, the best arms right now on the slate are the ones we talked about earlier, but Maeda might be due for a good outing here soon.
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair for him, his last three starts were at Arizona versus Arizona in LA and at Colorado. So Come on, like give the guy a break. I mean,
yeah, let's get some regression here.
Got another 30 starts to go, and his track record last season, you know, and then in Japan, he's known to be an efficient worker. I mean, he doesn't get super deep into games, but he's an efficient worker. You know, he maximizes his ground ball, induces a lot of ground balls, and you know he's a good pitcher, and he can get guys to swing and miss. I mean, he, like you said, Sean, you know, positive regression, he'll be fine, and Yeah, I think that's a perfectly fine call. Philly is not a world beater, especially against right-handed pitching.
Yep.
My guy is Adam Conley. He's 8,400 of the Miami Marlins. He's at Pittsburgh. I feel like Conley is kind of like Chase Anderson. Not remotely a household name. But he's a really good pitcher. He's in a nice situation. This is a monstrous slate. Like, these Friday slates, I said it last week, and it's just, it's crazy. Like, if you really think about it, you know, when else do, in DFS, I mean, other than, like, NFL, well, I guess, yeah, NFL football, you know, when do you have a slate where, well, no, not like football, because you're not picking from this many, this amount of players. I mean, when else in DFS do you have to pick from literally like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of viable players?
Right.
Such a big, monstrous slate. This guy is going to go so lightly owned, it's going to be laughable. I mean, he's going to go 1%, 2% owned. I'm confident, you know, maybe 5%. I don't know, whatever. But the bottom line is nobody's going to own Adam Conley. But he's taken on the Pirates, and they're just not a threat with the bats. I mean, there's a few guys in there that have some good ability, you know, McCutcheon, Polanco, maybe Josh Harrison, Jordy Mercer. You know, Conley's a lefty, and Mercer and Harrison do well against lefties. Whatever. They're not a dangerous offensive ball club. They have their nights. But here's the thing about Adam Conley. You know, he mixes up his pitches. He's got a nice three-pitch repertoire. He's got the fastball, the slider, and the changeup. You know, the fastball and changeup combination to keep batters off balance. And the slider to, you know, induce strikeouts and swinging strikes and put guys away. You know, and if he's, you know, if he's locating the fastball and the changeup is working, you know, and he's got some nice speed differential there, which he typically does, you know, because he throws in the low 90s and the low 80s changeup, and then the slider that kind of darts away. If it's darting away and he's, you know, getting guys to swing and miss, I mean, he can get you 6, 7, 8 strikeouts. And, you know, I like to use pitchers in National League ballparks because there's that one, 2, 3, if he can get deep into the game, opportunities for him to face the opposing pitcher, you know, face some dork hitting in the 8 spot who is basically, you know, only there because he plays good defense.
Yeah.
I mean, so I feel really good about Adam Conley. And it's just, you know, again, just like Chase Anderson, like when I use him in cash, I mean, first of all, I don't even play cash, so it's a moot point. But if I did, I wouldn't use him in cash. I'd use Max Scherzer. But in GPPs, you know, if things roll in his favor, you know, he could have a 40-plus point outing. I feel really nice about him. And like I mentioned before, PNC Park, very pitcher-friendly park, so that can mitigate any concerns if he runs into command issues. We're not too worried about any 3-run homers that are going to put him to bed early.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Let's go into the bats here, Josh. We got a lot of bats to work through. So I'm going to fire it up with Cleveland. I think a Cleveland stack is absolutely in play. Yes, they're not like blowing the doors off, but they're also in a really rock solid offense. We know that they have the pieces to blow up at any single point. And they've got Ariel Miranda on the hill for Seattle. We love picking on Miranda. Like I said, he's a lefty. They're struggling with left-handed pitching. They're below average right now on the season, but there's enough here that I think we can stack a couple pieces, if not stack the top here based on what we see from the order tomorrow. He gives up a 34% hard contact rate with 45% fly ball rate. I mean, that's what you really like to see here, especially for like a power hitter like Edwin Encarnacion, who, you know, got it going a little bit in that last series, went yard. So I don't mind, you know, and by the way, Francisco Lindor went yard as well today. So they're starting to pick it up with the power a little bit. You know, you can look at Santana, obviously, as a leadoff, Lindor batting two, Encarnacion, Ramirez, you know, and I think Brandon Guyer should sneak up in the lineup a little bit, maybe into that six hole. He hits left-handed pitching very well. Encarnacion is obviously kind of the leader of the pack here. 368 WOBA, 218 ISO, and a real nice 23% walk rate. Now, I don't know if that's just because he gets pitched around or what, but that's pretty solid. Santana just behind him, 337 WOBA, 141 ISO. Ramirez, 361 WOBA, 147 ISO. I mean, these guys hit for contact. They get on the base paths. And Guyer, you know, if he's up there, he's just too cheap right now. I think he was like 2,300 or something. He's 365 WOBA against lefties with a 193 ISO. I mean, he could really get it going here and offer you some salary relief if you string together a couple hits. So I don't mind Cleveland in this spot at all. The other thing that I want to bring to your attention is that the Mariners' bullpen is pretty terrible. If we can get to that bullpen, they own a 4.26 Sierra, which is the fourth worst in the league right now. Only an 8% strikeout rate. They are giving up a 10% walk rate. And on top of that, they have, let me see their batted ball statistics here for the Mariners. They are, not unbelievable hard contact, 30% hard contact rate, but also a 37% fly ball rate. So, you know, you get to that bullpen and, you know, you're going to have a chance to get some base runners in there and you know, keep it moving. I think that's really nice. That's really appealing to me too. So you beat up on Miranda, you get to a crappy bullpen, and you keep the offense rolling.
Hey, I can't disagree with you there. You know, the Tribe, I mean, just waiting for them. Just kind of like the Orioles, you know. I'm just waiting for them to just go on like a tirade and just, you know, just crush people for a week. They've got the bats.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm, definitely. This is a really hot take here, Sean. Really hot take. But I'm going to go with the Diamondbacks against Kyle Freeland. I know, guys.
Oh, wow.
I know. Just calm down. Just calm down. Just hear me out.
Josh, be reasonable.
I know. All right. I'm going to attempt to argue this. All right. So let me start off by saying Kyle Freeland, he sucks. Okay. He sucks. He's not good. What he does well is he induces a lot of ground balls. But here's the thing. Don't get hypnotized by high ground ball rates, because if a team is good at hitting low pitches, low ball hitters, then it doesn't matter. Like the Orioles, I'm going to keep going back to them all the time, but the Orioles are a really good low ball hitting team. You know, guys like Chris Davis and Mark Trumbo and Adam Jones and Manny Machado are just these big, strong guys that can golf, you know, low pitches the hell out of the ballpark. Okay. Right. And the Diamondbacks are very similar. They have a lot of big, strong guys that it doesn't matter where you put the ball in the strike zone, they can smack the shit out of it out of the ballpark. And a lot of teams just don't have that luxury. They just don't have guys like Paul Goldschmidt and Jake Lamb and Yasmani Tomas. They can just crush the ball 400 feet, you know, down below their knees. And so that's what Kyle Freeland makes his salary on, is keeping the ball low in the zone and inducing ground balls. But not only can Arizona hit low pitches, they also crush left-handed pitching. I mean, Goldie, AJ Pollock, Yasmani Tomas, Chris Owings, Chris Iannetta, you know, all righties that can hit the ball out of the park and crush lefties. And then even the lefty batters, David Peralta and Jake Lamb. I mean, look, we ideally don't. I mean, Peralta is actually not that bad against left-handed pitching, but Jake Lamb, he definitely struggles against left-handed pitching. But the reason I didn't start Yasmani Tomas tonight was because he was facing a right-handed pitcher, and I really got to get over that bias of like always fading the same handedness hitter against the pitcher.
I know, me too.
But I forgot that he's facing Jared Weaver, who is like, you know, Bronson Arroyo, you know, or, you know, whatever.
West Coast Bronson Arroyo.
Exactly. So all these dudes can rake. Kyle Freeland can kiss my booty. He's in for a tough outing. He's not remotely a concern to me.
Obviously, you know, the other thing is Vegas is going to love this game. You got to see, you know, we'll wait for that line to come out tomorrow, but you're probably going to see north of 9 runs here in this spot. So that's always a good sign in Chase Field.
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at it right now. They have the opening line out, and it is 9 on the dot. And I could see that ticking up a little bit.
I'm so smart.
You're a very smart man, Sean. You're very, very smart man.
I'm going to give you another scorching hot take. You ready for this?
Oh my God. No, I don't think I am.
I think if we're feeling a little bit frisky tomorrow night, that we can look at the Milwaukee Brewers offense in this spot.
Wait a second.
They've got this hot up and comer. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is Eric Thames, I think that's his name.
And maybe. Ryan Brayonen.
Ryan Bryan, actually, is
Ryan Bryan. I like Ryan that. Bryan. Ron Bryan.
Anyway, Brewers at home. They got the Braves coming to town, and they got Bartolo Colon. I'm 45 years old and 265 pounds.
That's Bartolo. Being generous about 265, Sean.
265 generous?
I think it's more like 300.
Yeah, that's probably true. Bartolo, though, you know, a real fun guy, but not a great pitcher anymore, allowing 36% hard contact and 33% fly ball rate, with a 21% line drive rate, which is an interesting, you know, advanced statistic that they're now tracking, which is pretty high. That's a pretty serious line drive rate, to be honest with you. So, you know, obviously Bartolo like has a good history, of course, sure, that's fine. But I really, really, really got to emphasize how much the Brewers can crush right-handers right now. VR hitting hard, Thames, obviously, Shaw, Pena, Braun, obviously, give me 1 through 6. Maybe I'll hold the Ryan Braun just to get a different outfielder in there. But I'm definitely still interested based on the numbers that I'm seeing. By the way, Eric Thames has a tight hammy, but I think he's gonna play. There's some talk that maybe he hurt his hamstring, but he said it's no big deal. They pulled him out of the game. And they had the day off today, so that's good.
You can't blame him for hurting his hammy because he's run about like 7 miles running around the bases all season.
Seriously, dude. No kidding. 503 WOBA, 431 ISO, 431 ISO. Everything he hits for power. Highest hard contact rate in baseball. Pena, very interestingly, is the next best batter as far as the numbers go. 404 WOBA with a 227 ISO. Did you know that from Miguel Pena?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that Manny. Yeah, I knew he was raking. But I've got Jet Bandy on my season long team, and I've been using him, you know, regularly. And sometimes I forget about Manny Pena, and it's just like, holy shit, like,
yeah,
Jet Bandy and Manny Pena are like combined like an Uber catcher.
Yeah, seriously. And well-priced, you know, they're going to be well-priced. And you add Ryan Braun, 379 WOBA, 247 ISO, obviously, even if it's against against righties. VR also at the leadoff spot, 339 WOBA and 138 ISO. He was cold for a little while, but he seems to have been getting it going. You know, and Shaw, too cheap in the four spot at 333 with 191 ISO. And Hernan Perez also, he is scorching hot right now. You know, he had that double dong game, and then he had another dinger a little while back. He is 348 WOBA right now and a 314 ISO on this season with a very solid 17% walk rate. So, you know, I think you can take any pieces of this Milwaukee offense that you're interested in. Obviously, fade Thames at your own risk. If you're going to go with the Milwaukee stack, you want Eric Thames in there. There's a lot of first base options, but Eric Thames may be the best one. So, you know, don't be afraid to pay up for him. Josh, maybe what we do is we do a little Milwaukee and we add your second stack here, because I think that there's a lot of upside in, you know, like cost savings in this offense.
Yeah, definitely, Sean. My selection here is the Tigers. I think the Tigers are, you know, in this situation right now as they're waiting for Miguel Cabrera and JD Martinez to return to full health and get back in the lineup. They just, you know, FanDuel just refuses to raise salaries to where they should be for a few guys in this lineup. So, you know, by all means, we're going to take advantage against Mike Pelfrey, who I liken to a garbage garbage bag. Yeah. Sorry. A garbage bag full of hot, stinky diapers. That's Mike Pelfrey, guys. Mike Pelfrey is a garbage bag full of hot, stinky diapers. If that image churns your stomach, it should, because just look at his statistics for his last three seasons. I mean, his whip is like pretty much every year, like approaching two. And if you don't know about whips, a two whip is like really, 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 really bad. I mean, my boy Ubaldo Jimenez is like a 1.5, 1.6 whip pitcher, you know, 1.4 on a good day. And that's terrible. Mike Pelfrey, I don't know what the Twins see in him. I guess maybe just eating some innings until some of their prospects like can be called up or whatever the reason. But while Mike Pelfrey is in the Twins rotation, we are going to all agree to target him with our hitters. So until June, when he's dumped to the curb, let's keep doing it. All right. Deal.
Yep. Done. Deal. Right,
good.
So I actually don't mind. I don't mind the other side of the ball too. I think the White Sox are in play as well, because the pitcher on the hill for them is Matt Boyd. Matt Boyd giving up some contact too. You know, and the White Sox offense is kind of hard to put your finger on, but I don't mind, you know, a couple of these pieces depending on how the order looks. You know, Abreu's out. He hit a hip or something like that. So, you know, they've been putting up some runs down there, and Matt Boyd is not a very good pitcher, and the Tigers have one of the worst bullpens in baseball as well, Josh.
Yes, and I need to correct myself. I've been saying the Twins. I keep thinking I know he's on the White Sox, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about him on his Twins days. Yes, on the White Sox, which...
Yeah, and... Yeah, Tigers third worst bullpen according to Sierra right now.
Yeah, so that might be a nice sneaky game stack.
Yeah,
I mean that's what you want to do in these mega slates. And let me look here real quick. The game. Okay, so yeah, it's a 7:10 opening pitch. Okay, so yeah, there's not going to be like an express slate you can just target this game on. So if you want to target this game, it's got to be on the main slate. And like a lot of people are not going to be on this as a game stack because these aren't like sexy teams to target, you know. But Sean, there's so much value here. If you want to roster Scherzer and have a high upside game stack, this is like right up your alley.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I totally agree. All right. We got a couple pivot stacks here, a couple little like, you know, pairs or things that we don't want to ignore. I don't think we can ignore this Houston-Oakland game, Josh. I kind of like both sides because a lot of people, Cotton and Charlie Morton are both, they're young pitchers. They've got a lot of potential, but they still haven't really found it yet. And they're giving up contact. So I think on the Houston side, Reddick is a really nice cheap one-off. I think he's still priced below 3K. If you want to pair him with, Altuve or Evan Gattis or McCann, whoever's starting a catcher, they're usually right in the middle of the lineup there. I don't mind that at all. And then on the Oakland side, give me Chris Davis and then obviously and pair him up with anybody in that lineup. Give Healy, Ryan Healy, Jed Lowry, Yonder Alonso, all cheap. Jaff Decker's been batting leadoff and Matt Joyce. I mean, any one of those guys – have good splits against right-handed pitching. And, Morton, I think one day will be a good pitcher, but right now his statistics really just don't show that he is a great pitcher. So,
I don't mean to correct you, but Charlie Morton's actually almost 34. So I don't think he's ever going to be a great pitcher.
Oh, wait, who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of that one guy. I don't know.
I don't know what I'm thinking of. I'm sorry.
No, Charlie, but you're right, though. Jarrell Cotton is a very young pitcher.
Correct.
And, he like I said it before in the cheat sheet, I like him. I like his changeup. But the thing is with, young pitchers that rely on a changeup, they can be hit or miss sometimes. And that's a pitch that takes years to really master. And a changeup is useless if you're fast, if you can't locate your fastball.
Yep.
So, if you are targeting Jarrell Cotton with hitters or other pitchers who rely on a changeup, you just got to cross your fingers and hope that the fastball location's off and the changeup just looks like a beach ball coming in at 80 miles an hour and the hitters can crush it. So, it's possible that the Astros could get into Cotton early and knock him out of the game and get into that bullpen, by the fourth inning or so. And, and like you said, the Astros have some dangerous hitters that have the opportunity to just, rally hard in a short amount of time.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Oh, and one last question. What is Jaff short for? What is the name? Is it Jaffrey?
Jaffrey. It's got to be King, King Jaffrey.
King Jaffrey. I hate King Jaffrey.
I know. I don't. Jaffrey. I have honestly. I can't. I can't answer that question for you, Josh. I don't have a good response.
Jaff Decker. Stupid. Jaff Kyle Decker.
Hi, my name's Jaff.
Hi, I'm Jaff. Whatever, Jaff. All right. Well, enough of Jaff. We're gonna look at the Nationals. Okay, the Nationals. I know they're facing Jacob DeGrom, but they're putting up softball numbers lately. I got my first softball game of the season tomorrow night, Friday night. Very excited. I'm not gonna lie. I doubt that we're gonna put up as many runs as the Nationals have put up the last couple days.
Yeah.
I mean, what is 16 runs? I think they put up they put up 16 today and 16 the day before, or am I wrong? I can't remember.
I think they only put up 15 today, Josh.
Oh, okay. Only 15.
I think they put up 19. So.
Jesus Christ. Or the Tigers put up 19 on the
Tigers. Okay, so no, today they put up 16.
And then yesterday they put up 15. Because it was 15-12 Nats over Rockies.
Yesterday they only put up a measly 11.
Oh.
Yeah. And then it was 15. Yeah.
The bottom line is the Nationals are probably hitting baseballs better than me and my stupid friends are going to hit softballs coming at us at 10 miles an hour by some old fat guy. Okay, so they're raking. They're super confident. I mean, baseball is such a mental game. It's like golf. If you're hitting that ball down the fairway, if your scrambling is good and you're just chipping the ball into the green, getting it by the cup, putting really well. I mean, you're feeling great. Like, you feel like you can birdie every hole. Well, the same goes for baseball. You know, if your swing is feeling good, if you're seeing the ball well, you know, if you're hitting it out of the ballpark like the Nats are, I mean, it seems like everybody is, you know, swinging a home run swing these days for the Nats. Good luck stopping that team. I mean, I said it before, yeah, they're away from Coors now, but it doesn't suddenly mean that they're going to score just like two runs. I mean, they are, like you said, Sean, one of the best offensive teams in the league. And Trey Turner, they didn't have Trey Turner at the start of the year last year. And at the end of last year when they got him, he was kind of getting his feet under him. But once he did, I mean, he proved why he's one of the top prospects in the league. I mean, that lineup is just devastating. They're so dangerous. Yeah, and
it's terrifying.
Seriously, man. And Bryce Harper was being pitched around a lot. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, for DFS purposes, they can keep pitching around Bryce Harper. I won't roster him. I'll just keep rostering Trey Turner and Ryan Zimmerman and Daniel Murphy and be perfectly fine with that because they're cheaper. And when they pitch around Bryce Harper, those guys get fat pitches right down the pike.
Yep.
So good mental state, good team skill-wise, and we get the added benefit of them facing Jacob deGrom, who, yes, he's a good pitcher, and it's possible he shuts them down, but ownership might be ticked down a little bit when people maybe are scared off a bit by the name of the opposing pitcher. So like the Nationals for this slate.
Yeah, I don't mind that. And, you know, Jacob deGrom is one of those guys, you know, he's got good stuff, but you have elite bats and a ton of them. He's going to make some mistakes. And, you know, you make a mistake against the Nationals, you're going to get smoked. So I don't mind that at all. All right, one-offs here, Josh. Fern, we've got some lone wolves. We got some, you know, we got to talk about a couple guys that maybe have some homer upside here. I'm going to talk about, I think Joey Votto's got a nice matchup here with Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn can get smoked by left-handed pitching. Got destroyed by the Nats earlier this year. He has an issue with power lefties. Joey Votto, power lefty in, you know, a good situation here. Obviously, you know, it's not a surprise that we like Joey Votto against a righty, but I think that, you know, that's an easy spot that might go overlooked. And on the opposite side of the ball, Tim Adelman is a terrible pitcher, and he gives up a ton of hard contact. And I know the St. Louis stack isn't necessarily sexy, so maybe it's just a pair. Maybe it's a Matt Carpenter, Jed Yurko. Maybe it's just one of them, but I think that they, you know, they can definitely hit for power. And Adelman has a 44% fly ball rate. I mean, why not? You know, they may be a little bit worn out from this doubleheader today, but I don't mind it. Carpenter sat, didn't he?
In the second game, yes, he did.
Yeah.
And so not to cut you off here, before you moved on to your next guy, I just wanted to add in two things. Is number one, yes, they're not sexy, but they were the stack, as far as I can tell right now. It's pending what happens with Oakland and LA and the rest of this Padres and D-backs game, so this could be moot, but it looks to me as of now that the go-to stack for this little mini slate for Thursday night was the Cardinals. If you stack the Cardinals, who, again, not a sexy team, you know, that was the way to go. And Tim Adelman, the second part of my brief interruption of you, Sean, I watched that Cubs and Reds game where I mentioned earlier where our boy Jake Arrieta got beat up a little bit. And Tim Adelman, dude, he sucks, man. He's like a relief pitcher, like a long man who's sitting in for whoever it is that's like out right now for them. But, dude, Tim Adelman, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into it. All right. Then, Fern, you got a couple. The last one that I got.
You got two more. Don't sell yourself short.
No, that's true. I do.
It's okay. Corey Seager, listeners can deal with 30 more seconds.
That's right. Corey, I'm also sweating. I'm sweating the fact that the Diamondbacks are shredding Jared Weaver, but Jake Lamb and AJ Pollock and Peralta haven't even hit the ball once. So I'm also distracted by that. I keep looking back at that, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Dude,
Chris Owings and Yasmani Tomas and Paul Goldschmidt are shredding people.
I had freaking Chris Owings on my team, and I didn't have Chris Herman in. And then I said, you know what? What if I went to Xander Bogaerts and instead of Owings, and went to Herman instead of one of the stupid $2,000 catchers? I can't even remember what their names are. And so I did that swap.
Killing me. You're killing me, Smalls. Anyway, all right. So very frustrating. I agree. But needless to say, nobody cares about my bad beat stories here. Corey Seager, red hot, at home. He's had back-to-back dingers in 2 days. Eichhoff can get smashed by lefties. Corey Seager, I like Corey Seager in this spot. I never mind Corey Seager. And I don't think, you know, nobody pays for Corey Seager because, unless it's a small slate, like a $3,300, $3,500 shortstop is not necessarily something that people want to do. Then the other one that I got here, Adam Jones. And in fact, Fern, you have a couple O's as well that you have your eye on. O's stack may be sneaky here. They're ice cold, you know, right now. And we're waiting for them to kind of like put up one of those big games. But Jones crushes right-handed pitching. And he actually, strangely enough, has massive BVP against Sabathia. With these interdivisional teams, you can look at BVP because they face each other enough that if guys have been on the same squad for a long time, they see a lot of reps. They see each other so many times. And Jones is one of those guys. He crushes Sabathia. So I'm interested in Adam Jones as well. You know, maybe Wellington Castillo, maybe Machado, mini stack of the O's for a little bit of leverage.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm just going to continue where you left off there and just add on to this O's discussion. Before I mention my guy, I mean, look, the Orioles suck against left-handed pitching, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. But like you said, you know, the BVP is there. It's an interdivisional game. They've gotten to Sabathia in the past. Just because a team sucks against a particular handedness of pitcher doesn't mean that they are like unusable. I mean, a player or a team in any DFS sport, whether it's baseball or football or basketball or whatever, should never be like dead to you. Okay. I can't tell you how many guys in basketball that we probably talked about, you and I, were like, we're saying he's dead to me. And then a month later, you know, we're rostering him and we're like, wait, he was dead to me a month ago? Oh yeah, I forgot about that. So the Orioles against left-handed pitching, don't let them be completely dead to you. Especially like you said, Sean, in this interdivisional game, they've seen CC Sabathia so many times. I mean, they've seen him enough where it's not this mystery anymore. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. And that could make them extra sneaky because I think people are getting hip to the fact that the Orioles are not good against left-handed pitching. But I'm going to offer up Trey Mancini against CC. So look, CC just ran into a Pirates buzzsaw. I know the Pirates, they're one of the most devastating teams in baseball, one of the best offensive ball clubs, you know, right between like the Nationals and, you know, the Rockies and Coors. So I know that we need to fear the Pirates. You know, of course, I'm kidding. The Pirates got into CC Sabathia, okay? I think the trend keeps rolling, okay? If he gets beat up by the Pirates, that momentum, I think, is going to continue with the O's. And guys, like, the O's, they win a lot of games on accident. Like, someone just accidentally hits a home run because, like, every player on their team is a power hitter who they can't manufacture runs. They go, and they have five runs, and they suddenly win a game. That's Orioles baseball, okay? But then, all of a sudden, for, like, a week or two, they're just this offensive juggernaut, just an explosion of just, like, three, four home run games every single night. Guys are just crushing the ball. Everybody from 1 through 9 is just on point. And they're still not moving runners along. Like, right. they're not stealing bases. They don't. Buck Showalter would probably cut a guy if he tried to steal a base. Okay? So don't think that the Orioles are going to be this run manufacturing National League, you know, hit and run kind of team. They crush homers and they strike out and they suck for periods of time, and then all of a sudden they're, you know, one of the best offensive teams in the league. So it's got to happen at some point here soon. It's got to happen, and I think that it is very much worth your while to throw a few darts with some O's stacks out there in this slate against CC Sabathia. Get your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5% ownership on your stud O's bats like Adam Jones, Mark Trumbo, Manny Machado, you know, and like my boy Trey Mancini, and you know, maybe they drop a 10 spot and hit 4 or 5 home runs.
Yeah, I like that call. I like that call a lot. All right, Fern, let's head over to FanDuel. We're gonna avoid looking at my
Just skip over your live scores. Don't even look.
Oh, my God, dude. I was sitting so pretty walking into tonight's slate.
If it makes you feel any better, I have 52 points right now. And, yeah, it's 11:20 p.m. right now. So I'm not saying 52 points at 7:20. It's 11:20.
All right. I'm gonna go with the Fern du jour, this mini sack fly here, this tourney. Let's get in here, baby. Are we going with Scherzer?
In the mini sack fly, I think you can get away with that. Even on this mega slate, because you're
Let's do one lineup with Scherzer, and then we'll pivot.
Yeah. So let's do Scherzer.
We're going to need some value here. Where do we want to get our value from?
Well, we said Detroit is a nice value team. So let's...
oh, my gosh. Kinsler. Too cheap. Ian Kinsler.
Yeah, let's filter out and look at Detroit. Ian Kinsler batting leadoff. Nice pop there. I like him a lot.
Yep.
I really like Alex Avila.
I was going to say, Alex Avila will be in this lineup in order to bat against righties because they platoon Avila and McCann, and I totally agree.
Well, so, and Avila's been playing first base with Miggy out.
Oh, that's so right.
He's going to be in there. They both should be in there.
Boom. 2,700 catcher. Avila is done. Are we doing, are we going to do, do you want to do Ian Kinsler at second?
We could do Ian Kinsler at second, and we definitely got to do Tyler Collins because he's still only $400 over Minsell at 2,400. Dude's hitting second, and he put up 20-plus points today. He's gonna be at the top of the order.
Boom. That's a nice little three-man stack right there to get a little salary relief.
And the question is, do you want to go... full out four-man stack and either go Castellanos or Upton? I mean, it's possible if you wanted to, but I feel like that 1-2 duo at the top there is nice.
With a little power upside in Avila. I like that call.
Yeah.
I like that call a lot. And this leaves us some space. You know, I think we're going to have to punt somewhere else in the lineup. I think we're just like, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to find another spot on this slate where you're going to take somebody who's a real cheap value guy. Actually, maybe it's my man, Brandon Guyer at 2,300. Maybe he's our punt plug in there.
Yeah. I hate saying guys are due, because that's very superstitious. But he crushes left-handed pitching. For his career, yep. he's been a very good hitter against lefties. Like, there's a reason why Tito Francona bats him third against lefties.
I agree completely.
Throw him in there.
All right, so we only have one more outfield slot, but we've gotten a lot of savings there. We have first, third, and short. Where are you leaning here, Fern? Are we leaning towards... We could definitely do a Thames Shaw here. That would be easy, but that's pretty pricey.
Well, let's look at this Brewers situation here. Hold on. I need to do game filter. There's so many freaking players on this slate. It's ridiculous. You know who I really regretted not rostering the other day was Orlando Arcia.
Why?
Because he hit a bomb the other day. What was it? He had 34.7 points against the Reds, 3-run homer. I just don't think on this slate I'd want to use him.
I don't think you need him.
Huh?
He's usually batting like eighth.
Yeah, exactly. It was just that Reds game where it was like a shootout. I don't know if this is necessarily going to be the spot to use him, though, because there's a billion players. But we need a third baseman, so Travis Shaw for sure. And we need another outfielder.
I mean, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I'm looking at. The Orioles are so underpriced. You can literally get Jones Machado.
Jesus Christ, you're right.
They're so underpriced.
Yeah.
You can get Jones and Machado for 33 and 34. Now, they haven't done shit. Mark Trumbo is $2,900 fucking dollars.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, Mark Trumbo hit, like, what did he hit, 42 homers last year or something?
I mean, he hasn't hit the ball in four games.
He hasn't. He hasn't.
That's pretty bad.
But, dude, this price, this ownership...
Oh, I'm definitely going to have some Mark Trumbo shares somewhere.
Yeah.
It kind of scares me.
Manny and Jonesy, I like
that.
What if we did
Manny and Jonesy
and Babe Mancini?
Babe Mancini?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mancini is nice. We got to see if he's in the lineup.
Oh, he'll be in the lineup.
You think so, over Crush?
No, not over Crush. Over Hansu Kim in left field.
Okay.
Because they only bat Kim against righties, and then Seth Smith will still be in there. What they'll probably do is they'll get Gentry in, because Buck Showalter loves him some Craig Gentry. And Gentry will probably bat leadoff. And then it'll be Jones second, Machado third, Trumbo fourth, Davis fifth, Mancini sixth, or Mancini seventh and Wellington, Beef Wellington sixth. So I don't know.
The other guy
I'm
that
I'm 99% sure Mancini is going to be in the lineup, though. Who's your other guy?
Edwin Encarnacion is really underpriced at 3.6.
I don't disagree with that being a viable play. He went yard today.
Yeah, he did.
And he's got your boy Ariel Miranda.
I know he does.
So if we put Edwin in there, so right now I got Scherzer, Avila, Edwin, Kinsler, Machado, Collins, Guyer, Jonesy, $2,200 left over for a shortstop.
You can definitely find a $2,200 shortstop on this slate.
Yeah. Select all teams. Yeah. Oh, dude. Of course. Dude, Jordy Mercer against a lefty.
I know. I was going to say Jordy Mercer. He's usually in the top of the order right there, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Against lefties, they bat him like first or second.
I could get into that.
Yeah. It's not a bad one-off right there.
No, J.J. Hardy, though, too, depending on where J.J. Hardy's in the lineup.
Yeah. for sure. JJ Hardy. I mean, it's not a terrible play, but I like Mercer more.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah. This is interesting. So it's Max Scherzer, Alex Avila, Edwin Encarnacion, Ian Kinsler, Manny Machado, Jordy Mercer, and then Adam Jones, Tyler Collins, and Brandon Guyer. And, you know, is this GPP? Is this cash? We're not quite sure.
No, this is just an example of one of the possible builds that you have available to you.
Absolutely.
Starting place.
I mean, the thing with these mega slates is the possibilities are endless. I mean, you can roster any pitcher you want and build a completely viable lineup. I mean, once lineups are announced and the value opens up and, you know, you really see what's doing, like, you have no reason to fade Max Scherzer because you don't think that there's enough upside for low cost hitters. I mean, guys, yeah, there's exactly 30 teams on this slate.
Right. All right. So speaking of fade Max Scherzer, let's get Scherzer out of there. And let's see if we go to a different pitcher, either, I don't know, either a Samardzija or a Kenta Maeda. What do you like, Fern? You pick the second pitcher that we got here.
Well, I'm not going to lie. Like, in my gut, I want to say Kevin Gossman. Because I just, dude, I watch him. I watch every pitch. I
mean, Fern is an Orioles fan.
Yeah, I know. This is like the Orioles podcast today, but I watch Kevin Gossman pitch every night out, and he's fine. He's running into some shitty luck, and he's getting into some shitty situations, and he'll be fine. But I don't know. The Yankees are hitting the ball well, so I don't know.
I was going to say, can we take a wait and see with Gossman?
Yeah. So why don't we just go ahead and drop down to Samardzija?
All right, Samardzija it is.
And let's just Jeffy. Clear the whole lineup there.
Clear that out. Now, if we're going to go with Samardzija, then we probably want to get some more high-cost bats.
Yeah.
A guy, we can start with our more pricey stack here in this case, and maybe we try to get a little Milwaukee exposure and a little Arizona exposure in the same lineup. How do you feel about that?
I feel great about that.
Yeah.
So which one do you want to start with?
Well, I mean, we got to start with Eric Thames.
Yeah.
And that's just stupid. And I think if you're going to play Thames, you play Shaw. And then I think if Hernan Perez is underpriced, depending on where he is in the lineup, if he creeps up, or Manny Pena, either one, I'm good with either one of those guys.
Mm-hmm. I love getting Pollock and Tomas in there.
Oh, you're going to get – you want to go – okay, so let's keep that outfield open.
Well, because I'm looking at it right now, and it's Samardzija, Thames, Shaw, Perez, Pollock, Tomas. 2,400-plus left over for catcher, second, and short.
Oh, man. That is nice.
Because Pollock and Tomas crush left-handed pitching. And
wait, who did you put in it? Wait, who's your third outfielder? Tomas, Pollock, and who?
Perez.
Oh, Perez.
Hernan Perez.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
He's just cheap.
Well, they bumped him up to 3,100.
I know.
But that's still cheap.
I know. It's still pretty good. I mean, for a guy who's been hitting for power.
And check it out, too, Sean. Thames, Shaw, Perez, we got a 2-4-5 situation there.
Yep. 2-4-5, and Yasmani Tomas and AJ Pollock, you get some of that exposure there. All right, so we're going to need to – I think we can pretty comfortably punt catcher on this slate. So,
if Chris Iannetta starts, I really like Iannetta against a lefty.
I like Iannetta. He will. They only sit him one day a week pretty much. So yeah. I think Iannetta is safe to get in there.
2,400.
That's a nice price.
So we got 2,500 for short and second. If we put Jordy Mercer in there again, just for the sake of argument, that'll bump us up to 2,800 for a second baseman.
And what does 2,800 get you in the second baseman market these days?
Let's check it out. Let's see.
God, DJ, the Colorado bats are so cheap away from Coors.
DJ LeMahieu's 3,000. Oh my god!
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
I'm going to filter everything out here. Look at Colorado real quick.
That's craziness.
LeMahieu 3, Reynolds 3,400 against a lefty. Arenado 4,400. Trevor Story $3,300 against a lefty.
So cheap,
dude. Dude,
these guys are too cheap.
My god.
These guys are too freaking cheap.
So note to self, Rockies at Chase Field. Come on. They're so freaking cheap.
They really are. I know. That's really good stuff.
Cargo is 2,800. And he is a well-known same-handedness crusher. He can hit left-handed pitching.
Are you kidding me? He's $2,800?
He's $300 cheaper than Hernan Perez.
Yeah, no, we're putting him in the fucking lineup.
Get out of here, Perez, you asshole.
Sorry, Hernan.
Hold up. We might have to do a Arizona-Colorado stack here.
I know.
This is kind of exciting. I love you, Brewers, but go away for a minute here.
Dude,
I do like Chris Iannetta still, though.
Yeah, Chris Iannetta is great. I play Chris Iannetta all the time. All right, so
Iannetta and I are like best friends. I don't know if you know that.
Are you guys? That's great, yeah. Dude. Carlos Gonzalez Cargo at 2,800 is insanity.
Okay, so check this out. I got Samardzija, Iannetta, Reynolds, LeMahieu, Story, and then Pollock, Tomas, Cargo, and then I have 3,800 left over for third base.
That sounds like the price of Jake Lamb. Or Travis Shaw is 37.
That's just too convenient, isn't it?
It is quite convenient. So here's a different option to keep if you want to keep the same Shaw combo. This is interesting. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I kept Thames and Shaw. Okay. But I have Chris Iannetta at catcher, Thames, DJ LeMahieu, Travis Shaw, Andrew Romine, shortstop for the Tigers, could get up in the lineup. Got to make sure he's in there. But he should be. He's my punt shortstop. Yasmani Tomas, AJ Pollock, Cargo. So I got the DJ LeMahieu Cargo, and then Thames and Shaw pair, and then the Yasmani Tomas, AJ Pollock, Chris Iannetta, and punting shortstop. So that's not bad at all.
Yeah, I like that, man. I like that.
And if Nick Ahmed is in the lineup, I could even add a different. I could add another. Shit, why don't I just add another Diamondback in there instead? Nick Ahmed, because I know he'll bat right next to Chris Iannetta.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah, and if he can get on base, get a little single action there, and then Iannetta goes yard.
Yep, that's it.
Forget about it.
All right, dude. Some good, interesting options. There's so many ways to do this,
guys. Yeah, we'll be blabbering on Twitter about it tomorrow. So, yep,
we will. Yeah. We will indeed.
If you listen to the pod and you have any more questions, by all means, reach out to us. Spectre, Kingsguard as well, Scott and Ryan, they'll be out on there as well. And by all means, please get on the train, guys. Get on the bandwagon and join up with our Patreon group. We're having a lot of fun, a lot of success. People are cashing every day. The cheat sheet is a big hit, and it would really, help us out in building this up.
Absolutely. It's a really, 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 really good, really, really good community and great, just a great opportunity
for fun. And we're, you know, like we said, guys are cashing. It's working. So pretty pumped about that. Fern, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Josh Fern. At Josh Fern, JOSHFERN. Hit me up if you got any questions about any opinions or, you know, anything for the slate, and I'll do my best to get to you. And, yeah, we definitely appreciate you guys just dropping us a line.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Best of luck in your contest tonight, and we will see you tomorrow.
See ya.